and I'm a compulsive overeater. And I entered Overeaters Anonymous August 17th, 1976. And I weighed over 300 pounds. Last time I weighed, I was 298, but I didn't stop eating. So I'm sure I went way over 300. But my story begins when I was born. Actually, I was born May the 22nd, 1944, and I was what they call a war baby. And my father's name was Robert Lee Henderson. And my mother's name was Mamie Alessio. And I was born in Oakland, California at the Naval Hospital. And I was second child, as they called it then, born out of wedlock. And so I was put in an orphanage. And they kept the I think Miss Alessio kept the first baby. And then they gave the second one away, which was me. And so my mother and father adopted me. They couldn't have any more children after they had my sister. And that's what was my new family, Dorothy and Albert. And they did get along very well. And I remember them separating all the time. I was growing up as a little boy. And so I had the two strikes against me, one being adopted child, which talking to adopted children over the year, adult children that were adopted, a lot of us have really strong abandonment issues. And so then along with that, their disharmony in their marriage, I was always very insecure about a lot of things. And so my mother would, when I was feeling sorry for myself, my mother would sit me down and we don't mention food here, but she'd sit me down and give me something to eat. I'll just leave it at that. And then when I would eat half of the box of it, she would say, well, you know, that's gluttony. You don't need to eat that much. So that was my favorite time, was meal time or snack time or any time. And so as I progressed, I had all kinds of nicknames, Fatso, Porky, you know, growing all the way up until I was in my 20s. And I just believed that that was my lot in life. I was just I think my affirmation when I came to OA, when somebody would say, how are you, Dave? I'd say, well, I'm just fat, dumb, stupid, and ugly. And they'd say, well, you're not, number one, you're not fat anymore. You lost 130 pounds. You're not stupid, listen to you. And you're certainly not ugly. So Overeaters Anonymous challenged my thinking. And that's the best thing it ever did for me, as a matter of fact. So I think my parents divorced when I was, I think, 15 years old. And I went to live with my mother. And then they get back, you know, I don't think they got back together after that. And so she remarried a couple of times. And so did my father. So, I met my first wife when I was living with my mother, and I married her and adopted her two children. Isn't that interesting? Yeah. And so my sponsor, when I got a male sponsor, he finally started pointing out all these parallels, these patterns that I repeated that my parents did, you know. So I'm a lot like my father and a lot like my mother. I have both of their traits, of course. That's what's beautiful about the ongoing process of the inventory initially and the 10th step, you know, continue to take a personal inventory. So that got me to being, I think, 20 years old, and I weighed 241 pounds, and I worked for a guy up in Los Angeles on his racing cars. I met him at the track, and he hired me, and I lived in his house, and he told me at breakfast one morning, I probably should go to the diet doctor over here in Azusa, and so I went to see Dr. Stanley Z. Gilbert, and I got those little pills that they gave out in the 60s, you know, I hear a lot of people, oh, I did that, you know. And so I would go in. He had rented a house there in Azusa on the corner. And I was in line with all the ladies. I was the only guy. I never saw a man there. And so I took my pills, and I took a pill before each meal. And then And after a couple, 3 weeks, I got, you know, I'm starting to get, you know, and I got my little water shot, and I didn't know what the shot was for. I just, hey, this guy's great. You know, he's taking away my appetite, you know, and he was God, you know, as a matter of fact, I worshiped the guy. And I went to see him and I'd say, you know, I'm starting to get hungry again, doc, you know, and he goes, well, take two pills. Here's another packet. And so I think I was up to about five pills at a meal, you know, and I started, you know, blacking out, you know, because I was, you know, probably overdosing. I don't know. And I fell asleep at the, I couldn't sleep. So I fell asleep at the wheel of my boss's truck, and I ended up in a bed of ice plant and blew out all the tires. And, you know, and I think that right after that, he fired me, but I got down 190 pounds and I come down to visit my mother, and I went out to the bowling alley where I used to hang around when I was a teenager and young man, and everybody I knew was out there that hung around the pool hall. And I walked in there, and there was a girl in there, Judy Radinsky, and I always used to look at her, but I always thought, well, she didn't have a big fat guy like me, you know, so I never talked to her that much. And she came up and threw her arms around me and told me what a handsome man I was. And I couldn't say anything, so I did the only thing I could is I went to the Speedy Mart, which are now 7-Elevens, and I got a bunch of stuff. I started eating, you know. And so that was, you know, that was the end of that. And then I got married, and like I said, met my wife, and she had two kids. And so, you know, that went on, bought a house out near here, and I started to feel uncomfortable and started to hit another bottom with my weight. And I went to my healthcare provider, and I'd heard about the stomach bypass surgery. And I said, I want that surgery. I need that. I've read about it. And she said, well, no, you're not a candidate because you don't have high blood pressure. You don't have congestive heart. That's only for people that are at risk. This was in the 70s. And so she said, but I know of, I said, well, I need to do something. I said, because the way I eat is crazy. So I had the first, you know, part of the second step, right? I needed to be restored and had to be. And she said, well, I don't think you're crazy, and I don't think you need to see a psychiatrist. And I thought I did. And she says, what I think you need is a support group. She says, I know of two, Weight Watchers and Overeaters Anonymous. And she says, the only thing I know about them, Dave, is one costs money and the other one doesn't. So guess which one I came to. And so I went to my Wednesday night meeting, and all the ladies were there. There were no men there. And they said, you know, here's what you do. And I had taken notes because I was a mechanic. So I followed a manual and instruction. I knew how to do that. I knew how to follow the instructions. So they said, get a sponsor. Call your sponsor every day, and call three people every day, and get on the food plan. Here's the food plan. It was called the gray sheet, and there's no sugar, flour, wheat, and you know, weigh and measure all your meals, and do the 30-day assignments, and then you get to be a food sponsor, you know. So that was my way into sponsorship. Thank God they have that at that time, you know. And so I did all those things, and I raced Helen to see who could lose weight fast enough, and I beat her. Rather dubious distinction, you know. And I was higher than a kite. Well, they also had these women in the meeting that kept talking, inviting us to the step study and talking about the big book, Alcoholics Anonymous. And my opinion was, I'm not an alcoholic. I'm not going to read the damned Alcoholics Anonymous book, you know. So I didn't. And so I was flying high there with my weight off and everything. And a lady came and invited me to go to another meeting. That's the only meeting I went to lose my weight. And if you asked me where I went on Wednesday night, I would think, I said, well, I go meet with these people over here. Oh, what kind of people? Oh, some friends I have. Well, what do you talk about? Oh, we just talk about different. And that, you know, if people ask you questions over and over again, they don't get the answer you want. They just say, oh, the hell with you. You know, so I just waited till they did that. And I said, okay, good. Let's talk about something else. And so that's what I did, you know. And so I went to, then I went to the meeting that I was invited to down in San Diego, and it was full of people. We only had 12 people or something like that in our meeting. And so I started going down there, and I started going to more meetings. And my wife, you know, my poor wife said, you know, God, you lost all your weight. Why are you going to more meetings? Well, she did. Of course, she didn't.
5 minutes, Dave.
5 minutes left. Boy, I went on, didn't I? Anyway, she divorced me. My divorce paper said respondent suffers severe personality change as a result of the involvement in Overeaters Anonymous. I still have the document, you know, and I understand today. I didn't understand at the time. I understand what she went through now, you know, because I went to Al-Anon and you know, it's another program. So I guess moving right along, I was going to put my picture up, and I got carried away. This is what I looked like when I came in the program right there. That's the fella. And that's enough of that. So I qualified to be in the room, and I had a relapse, of course. And then after the relapse, I'll shorten things up. I decided what I needed to have was step study meetings, and there wasn't any that weren't closed. So I started two step study meetings. One was the men's meeting. It died in a restaurant. And the guys came at a retreat and they said, would you help us start the men's meeting back up again? This is 1996. So I said, okay, it's fine, but we can't have it in a restaurant anymore. That's why it died. I won't go into details what happened at a restaurant in the men's meeting. But so we started it and we made it a step study, and it's still going, by golly, and it's a pretty good meeting. And of course, we went to Zoom on the COVID and everything, but And then I started one on Saturday morning, which is still going, and started that in 1999. So I've been attending step study meetings. Are my favorite meetings. And so I work the steps, and I sponsor a lot of people, and I've been involved over the years with the intergroup. And
3 minutes, Dave.
3 minutes. And thank you. And, you know, and today I'm not involved. I'm involved with the intergroup. You know, but we're having me and another guy coordinate the Southern California Men's Retreat. And we're having that this weekend, first time in 2 years being there in person. So we're excited about that. And so, you know, I sponsor a lot of people, do service, I have a part-time job and I work out of home, and I have a beautiful girlfriend, and, you know, life is good. Couldn't be better. Very fortunate. And I'm abstinent today by the grace of God, and I weigh and measure most of my food, and I have a journal. I try to follow those 9 tools like everybody else does, and you know, do a lot of other outside stuff to help myself. So I'm one of you, you know, I'm a day at a time. You know, and I believe that life's a continual cycle of pain, growth, and joy. Nobody gets out of this life unscathed. My second wife, I held her hand while she passed away in 2014. I just buried my sister and her son, my nephew, who committed suicide. And I found him 2 Sundays ago, as a result of him committing suicide. So. There's some pain going on there, and I'm growing through it and going through the grief cycles of anger and sadness and things like that. But I have a foundation that he didn't have. That's what I'm learning from Charles, my nephew, is he didn't have a foundation like we have here. He didn't have a guide consciousness. And well, that'll take you a long ways. It's taken me a long ways. God, somebody said, God is omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent, but the one thing God isn't is limited. So there isn't too much that God can't do for you. You know, I believe so. He's keeping me abstinent, and I don't have today. I didn't have the food obsession because of this program and working the steps, you know, imperfectly the best I can. So I bet you I'm just about done, Ross. Thanks.